Morning. Today's daf and ksivus is Samech Hey. We're in the bottom of Samech Dal Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zeich Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are still on a Mishnah. We start on Samech Dal Amud Beis. The Mishnah talks about how much the trustee, the custodian, is supposed to give to the wife. The husband's away, or the husband's just not interested in eating with his wife. Either way. Either one of those scenarios, and so she's going to get fed, and she's going to get fed by the custodian who's going to be in charge of the estate. And how much is she going to receive? So the Mishnah gives us with tremendous detail exactly how much she's going to receive. At the end of the Mishnah discloses to us that we're talking about an ani. In other words, this is the base amount. The Mishnah over here is being very specific because we're talking about what exactly is the base amount that's required for her to live, to sustain. But the Mishnah ends off by stating, Avaba Mechubad, but if she's somebody who's married to wealth, so Akolafi Kvadosa, then everything is going to be based on who she's married to. So obviously the Mishnah does not mean that this is only the only thing she's going to receive, but if this is all they can afford, so this is going to be the base amount. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the amount of wheat that she receives. The Mishnah says that she gets 2 kabim of wheat. 2 kabim of wheat is an amount. I don't know how much that translates into in modern measurement, but okay, it's an amount of wheat that she receives. We spent a considerable amount of time yesterday, almost the entire Amud Beis, trying to coordinate this Mishnah with what we know from Erevin. The Mishnah in Erevin discusses that when you lay down your Erev Tchum, so your Erev Tchum has to be made up of 2 meals worth, and how much is 2 meals worth of food? So it's a machlokas in the Mishnah in Erevin. Machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, and machlokas between Reb Yocham and Broka and Rebbe Shimon. We didn't focus yesterday on Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, as they don't give objective amounts, but we focused yesterday on Reb Yocham and Broka and Rebbe Shimon, who each one of them give an amount. Comes out, without going through the details, although yesterday I also skipped the details, comes out that according to Rebbe Yochanan ben Broka, so 2 kavim of wheat, well, let's put it this way. A chatzi kav would be 2 meals, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka. So that means that 2 kavim would be 8 meals. 8 meals is far from the 14 meals that a woman would need over the course of a week. And according to Rabbi Shimon, so 2 kavim actually makes up 18 meals. So 18 meals is going to be a lot more than what she needs. So what we did yesterday in the Gemara is we tried to somehow fit our Mishnah with the Mishnah in Erevin. So again, the problem is, our Mishnah says that she gets 2 kavim, and the Mishnah in Erevin has 2 opinions, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, in terms of what 2 kavim represents. Does it represent 8 meals? That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Or does it represent 18 meals? Either way, it's either going to be more or less than the 14, which generally speaking we assume a woman needs. Why do we assume a woman needs 14 meals? Because back in the good old days, you'd have 2 meals a day. 2 meals a day, each one comprised of bread. So obviously this presents an issue. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. So I read the answer yesterday. I'm just going to reread the answer once again, and we'll pick it up from there. So Ela Kedam Rav Chista. Look about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The first word in the line is Rav Chista. Samach Dalmud Beis Ella Kidamr of Chistat Semen Mechzela Chenvani Achanami Asya Palka Vishadi Alayhu. So the Gemara says, well, when we talk about bread being making up 8 meals, well, that's not really true. Bread really makes up the bread. Actually, I'm sorry, 2 kavim actually make up much more than that. But what we have to account for is the fact that the baker himself needs to hold on to a profit, meaning the baker himself is not just going to simply make the flour and retain nothing for himself. How is he supposed to make money? So tsei mehem mechza lechenvani. So half of it goes to the chenvani. So in other words, so if it's a total of 16, so the baker himself retains eight of those 16, and the reason why he does that is for a profit. I told you yesterday, next time you go to the bakery, and you're wondering, like, why does it cost so much? So at least you see over here, at least according to one version or of Chista, so he's holding on to half of it for profit. So it's not... It's not crazy. So the Gemara says, Kasha de Rav Chista, de Rav Chista. The Gemara points out that there's somewhat of a discrepancy between the two opinions of Rav Chista. Because yesterday, if you remember, Rav Chista was talking about the baker retaining a third of the bread. And now we're talking about half, so which one is it? In other words, how much of a profit margin are we talking about for the baker? So lo kasha habasa di avtsivi, habasa de lo avtsivi. So the Gemara says, well, depends. In other words, in the cost analysis of the profit that the baker has to keep for himself, you have to take into consideration whether or not he has to pay for the fuel or he doesn't have to pay for the fuel. If he has to pay for the fuel, so that's more expensive, so therefore he needs to keep more of the baked goods in order to make some sort of profit. But if if he doesn't have to pay for the fuel, well, who's paying for the fuel? If he's not paying for the fuel, so it could be that it could be the supplier, it could be the customer. But if he's not paying for the fuel, so then that's less expensive. Less expensive, he only has to hold on to a third of the bread, not half of it. So the Gemara says, okay. So where are we right now? So we're saying that eight loaves of bread doesn't really mean 8 loaves of bread; it really means 16. Meaning that really 2 kavim supply 16. Either baker only walks away with 8 because only sells 8 because he holds on to 8 himself. Fine. So the number is 16. So the Gemara says, Yahachi Shitzer Havyan. So the Gemara says, so now what does she have? She has 16 loaves, 16 meals that come out from these 2 kavim. So Kaman Karabi Chitka Damar Abra Sudas Chayav Adam Lechol B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, now what comes out is that 16 is a lot. Meaning, how many meals does she need a week? So we said 14. And maybe, the Gemara is now suggesting, well, maybe really the number is 16, because we know that on Shabbos there's a mitzvah shal shuras. We also know that there's an opinion of Rav Chitka, which the Gemara is quoting right now, that on Shabbos you need 4 meals. So 12 meals for the 6 days of the week, and another 4 meals for Shabbos, so that's 16. So maybe now that the way we're going to arrive at full coordination between the opinion of Rav Chista and our mission over here is that if we work with the assumption that on Shabbos you need not 3 meals, but you need 4 meals, so then everything works out. Now you have 16. Now the 16 is the perfect match. But the Gemara says, but implied in the Gemara is a question of really we're going to have to rely on the opinion of Rav Chitka. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tam rabbanan. No, the Gemara says, really, we could be relying on the opinion of the Chachamim, which is that on Shabbos, you only need to eat 3 meals. And that, of course, is the accepted halacha. On Shabbos, you only need to eat 3 meals. So, dal chad al arche parche. So the Gemara says, okay, you only need to eat 3 meals on Shabbos, so why is she being supplied with 16 meals if she only needs 15 meals? The Gemara says, arche o parche, that's an expression that we used just the other day. It means guests. Guests that are staying for a while, guests that are just running through. But in other words, an extra meal to help the guest. Hashadasahachi. So now the Gemara says, now that we're here, so afilu tam Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, now, truth of the matter is that we don't have to be exact. Because we know that as long as she gets enough meals for herself, and even if it's going to be a little bit more, but the Gemara says, look, she's going to host, and therefore she's going to need some extra meals. So the truth of the matter is that we don't have to limit our Mishnah to Rabbi Yochanan and Brokar. Our Mishnah can be going like Rabbi Shimon as well. Afilu tam Rabbi Shimon, la Rabbanan dal tlas arche apache, la Rabbi Chitka dal tarte la arche apache. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, how many meals did 2 kavim represent? 18. According to Rabbi Shimon, so 18 meals is fine. So according to Rabbi Chitka, so again, how many do you need for Rabbi Chitka? You need 16 altogether because he says on Shabbos you have to have 4 meals. So according to Rabbi Chitka, you need a base of 16 meals. So 18 is just 2 more than that, but 2 more is fine. That goes to the guest. And if you hold like the Chachamim, so she has 3 extra meals because on Shabbos you only need 3 meals. So that means that it's a total of 15 for the week. She got 18. 18 minus 15 is 3. Okay, so she got 3 extra meals. That also goes to the guests that come by as well. Okay, so after all said and done, our Mishnah says that she gets 2 kavim of wheat. That represents somewhere in the ballpark of 16 to 18 meals. But the Gemara says that's fine, meaning it'll be a little bit more than what she needs, but basically the extra is going to go to the guests. That's the Gemara in a nutshell. We're at the 2 dots now on the bottom of Samach Dal Amud Beis. I'm Rav Yossi Lapasik Sa'orin. So Ela Be'adam Hu Dachlin Sa'orin B'Kulei Amal Lo Achlein. The way the Mishnah formulates it, it sounds like you know, if you live near Edom, so you get to eat barley. Really? That's the only place in the world to eat barley? In other words, outside of that, you don't eat barley? So Hachi Kamar. So Gemara says no. The way to understand the Mishnah goes like this. Lo pasik sarim keflaim bechitim. Ela Rabbi Yishmael shayah samach le'edom in Mishnah sarim adomios rausei. When does it have to be that the barley is going to be two times the amount of wheat? Right, that's what the Mishnah told us regarding her supply of barley. So the Gemara says, look, of course a woman's always going to get barley. In other words, everyone eats barley. Barley is a normal dietary food. It just happens to be that our Mishnah, who gives the ratio of 2 to 1, two times barley for the one time, that's for people like Rabbi Yishmael, who lives next to Edom, where the barley over there is a Roman barley, whatever that means, but it's inferior. It's an inferior barley, so therefore there you need two times the amount of barley in order to make up for the wheat. Okay. Nosin lechatzikav kitnius, and then beans as well. So ve'ilo yain lo ketani. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the omissions of the Mishnah. Meaning, we're talking now about a woman's diet over the course of the week. So wheat, barley, legumes, beans, and the fruit. The Mishnah goes on to say, but what is noticeably absent from the Mishnah is wine. And the Gemara is going to say that that's not an inconspicuous absence, but that's a conspicuous absence. Mishnah meant to leave it out. Should not be part of her diet. A woman should not be given wine. Now, if you take a look at Rashi on the top of Samachemad Aleph, Rashi says Shayayin Margila Taivas Tashmish, because what happens is that if she has wine, so wine takes away her inhibition, and that's not good. Now we're going to make a distinction later on. Meaning, if her husband's around, that's fine. But remember, in the context of what are we describing right now? We're describing where her husband's not there, and she's getting fed Al Yidei Shlish. In other words, it's the custodian who's feeding her. So the custodian who's feeding her, so that means her husband's not around, so wine should not be part of her diet. Now the Im Tomar, sorry. Yeah. The Im Tomar Tapasam Chemed Aleph. So maybe the Gemara says, you know the Pasuk in Hosea. So Elcha Charai Me'avai Nosnei Lachmiu Me'mai Tzamriu Pishti Shamni V'shukuyai. So the Pasuk in Hosea describes what a woman is interested in. She wants lechem and mayim and Samriu Pishti, right, wool and linen. Shamni, she wants oil, Vishikuya in her drink. Throughout Gemara, throughout Tanakh, whenever there's a description of drink usually without being identified, drink usually is a reference to wine. So from the Pasuk in Hosea, it sounds like what the woman's describing is her drinking wine. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Pasuk in Hosea means. Dvarim Shaisha Mishto Kekes Aleihem Umayninu Tachshitin. So the Gemara says, no, the word shikuyai does not mean drink. In this context, it means things that she wants. So what does a woman want? Tachshitin, she wants jewelry. That's what a woman wants. That's what the Pasuk in Hosea is describing. So right now, the Gemara is staying steadfast on the course that in the absence of her husband, she should not be drinking any wine. Darsh Rabbi Yehudish Kfar Nivrai, the Amrila Ish Kfar Nafur Chayom. Okay, various versions of where Rav Yehuda is from. Minayin shein poskin yenos leisha. How do I know that women should not be given wine to drink? Shenemar v'takem chana acharei achla b'shilo v'acharei. Now, pronunciation over here is very important. Shaso. Yeah, I looked it up. So the chana went after having eaten in Shiloh and after v'acharei shaso. Now, not shaso, but the pasuk actually is enunciated shaso. After he drank. So in other words, her and her husband went to Shiloh, went to the Mishkan, they offered carbon, and she ate, and he drank. So the reading of the Gemara makes a very simple diuk. Shaso velo shasas, meaning he, Elkanah, drank, but she didn't drink. So that's the diuk in the Mishnah regarding Chana. So alamiyata achla velo achol hachanami. So the Gemara says, okay, but that really, meaning the Pasuk says that she ate, but that means that he didn't eat. Meaning that's the diuk, that's all right, that's a correct diuk. She ate carbon, but he didn't eat carbon. The assumption, of course, is that they both ate carbon. So Anan, the Gemara says no. Midish, I mean, of course he ate. Anan midishani krabidibure. Now, what we're looking at over here is the change of tense in the pasuk. Karminan michti begavaka asik, because look, the Navi goes on to describe what she was doing. Kaasik v'asim, my time is shani. And then it changes tense, meaning it talks about her eating karban, and then it says, and he drank. In other words, what the Navi is trying to do is tell us, specifically, he drank to the exclusion of her. Shema mina shaso velo shasas. That's the diuk in the pasuk and the Navi. They both ate meat. That's not the issue. The issue is that the Navi is going out of its way to teach us that she ate, but she did not drink. And that's the change in tense in the pasuk and Navi. Okay, so once again, another raya that women should not drink wine, meisvei. So the Gemara says, we have a braisa, rigila, nosninla. If a woman is accustomed, meaning that she's used to drinking wine, so nosninla, so then you give her. That is a braisa, rigila shani. So the Gemara says, well, talking about a woman who's used to it. So in other words, she is not going to get adversely affected by the wine if she's used to drinking it. Dam rav chinna bar kahana mashmua. Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel, Rigila, Nosnala Kosechan. If she's used to drinking wine, so give her a cup, meaning a cup a day. And she ain't a Rigila, but if she's not used to it, Nosnala Shne Kosas. Now, if she's not used to it, so then give her two cups. And realize right away that of course makes no sense. And my Ka'amar and the Gemara's reaction to that is that doesn't make any sense. So Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar, so Abaye says, no, this is what Shmuel meant. Regila bifnei ba'ala shnei kosa, shalom bifnei ba'ala nos nela kosa echad. It means like this. If she's with her husband, so then she can drink two cups. Meaning, and yes, it's true, it's going to take away some of her inhibition, but that's fine. She's with her husband. If she's not with her husband, so then don't give her two cups. And give her one cup. But give her the one cup, of course, only if she's used to drinking it. Ain't a regila bifnei ba'ala ela kos echad. So, and if she has no tolerance for wine whatsoever, meaning she drinks no wine, generally speaking, she's not a drinker. So, bifnei ba'ala ela kos echad. So, if she's with her husband, give her one cup. Shalom bifnei ba'ala einos nela kolikar. Now, if she's not with her husband, don't give her anything at all. Okay, that's one way to reinterpret the statement to Shmuel. So again, a woman in front of her husband, so the fact that she drinks wine and loses some of her inhibition, that's fine. If she's not with her husband, so then if she has some tolerance, give her a cup. If she has no tolerance, give her zero. Or another way to understand the statement of Shmuel, or the Braisa, is that Regila, if she's used to it, you give her wine, not to drink, but to put in her dish. In other words, you cook with wine. So the Gemara tells a story regarding the daughter of Naktim Ben Gurion. Right? You remember him? He comes up a number of times in Shas. The Gemara in Gittin describes him to be one of the wealthiest people living in Yerushalayim at the end of by Sheni. So this is now the daughter of Naktim Ben Gurion, Shepaskal HaChachamim. So for whatever reason, either he died and we're dealing with the estate, or the father's away, either way. So the Chachamim gave her Sasayim Yayin, Letzika Kedera. So two sa'a of wine, so for her to cook with, as a weekly allowance. So Me'er Shabbos, Le'er Shabbos. Okay, for the weekly allowance. Amar Lehen, Kach Tifziku Levneu Sechem. And her response is the same to your daughters, meaning I hope that your daughters will be as lucky as me and be able to receive two sa'a of wine every week. Tana, the Gemara quotes a braisa, Shomeris Yavam Haisa. So the Gemara points out that she was in a precarious situation. In that, she was a Shomeris Yavam. I mean, at the time when she had to have been, they were taking care of her, so she had a husband, she lost her husband, and now she's waiting for Yavam to do something to her. In the meantime, however, she's a widow, so that's why the Beis Din had to take care of her. V'lo anu achare amen. So even though she gave them, the Chachamim, a bracha, but the Chachamim didn't want to answer amen to the bracha. Why? Because even though she's giving a bracha, but you have to look at the greater context, meaning she was at the time just a widow. So them saying amen was not only an amen on the wine that she blessed them with, but also on her whole situation that she was in, and so therefore they didn't want to say amen to the bracha that they gave her. Tana, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Kotecha yafalisha shnaim nivalhu shlishi tavas bepeh, arba afilu chamor tavas beshuk veina makpedes. So the Braisa over here describes wine as it relates to women. Right, women and wine is one of the big themes of today's daf. So one cup of wine is good. That's fine. Shnaim nivel. Shnaim already, that's something which is makes her disheveled. Shlosha tovas bepeh, three cups of wine, already she's going to act highly inappropriately. She's going to be tovas bepeh. Rashi says, we're talking about tashmash over here. In other words, she'll ask for it. And arba filu chamar tovas b'shuk ve'no makpedes. And by four already, she's gone. Right? The Gemara describes over here very graphically how even a donkey in the marketplace. In other words, four is really no good. Just interesting, we just went through the Lil Seder. We know that there's a mitzvah of dalakosis, and we know the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Pesachim tells us, 10th Perek, that women are also chayiv in dalakosis, that the Ashafe and Hayu Bo Zornes, they're also part of the miracle. So, it's interesting. On Lil Seder, there's a mitzvah for women to drink four cups of wine. Here in general, Ksuvus is not talking about Lil Seder, Ksuvus is talking about in general, four cups of wine is a really bad idea. So, could be that in the context of a mitzvah, it's different. Could be that it's Lil Shimurim on Pesach night. Okay, you could say, suggest a number of things. But anyway, I thought that to be interesting. So once again, Rava says that this is all in the absence of her husband. But as long as her husband's around, so then there's no problem. Because yes, it's true, the wine does remove her inhibition. But with her husband around, that's fine. So v'achana de bala ima, havai? So the Gemara says, okay, now let's go back to Chana. Chana and Elkanah were in Shiloh. And she didn't drink wine, right? That was the diuk that we made in the pasuk earlier this morning. So she didn't drink wine. So the Gemara says, but why not? Her husband was right there. So, okay, she drinks wine, her husband's right there. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Halach lamaisa achsanai shani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but they weren't home. In other words, her and her husband were achsanai, they were guests somewhere else. And Amar Avuna minayin l'achsanai sha'asa patash mishamita. Guests, when they're in someone else's house, is prohibited to engage in marital relations. Shanem raveshkima baboker, vayishachu v'lifnei Hashem, v'yashuva v'yavole beisar ramasa. In fact, once again, we go back to the psukim by Chana, and it's meduyak in the psukim. Just a critical reading will allow us to arrive at that conclusion. The pasuk goes on to describe how they woke up in the morning, and they bowed, and they returned back to the house, which is in Ramah, v'yed al karas chana ishto. And at that point in time, and only at that point in time, were they together. Vayitzkar Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered, and Chana, of course, got pregnant. Hashta in Mikaralo. And again, the Gemara just simply sums up the diuk. It's very simple. That prior to that point in time, they weren't intimate because they were guests while in Shiloh. So they, and halach lamaisa, when you're guests in somebody's house, so, asa betash mishamita. Okay. Chomet devasau da'abaye, asa lakama derava. So, Choma was her name. She was the wife of Abaye. Abaye died. Remember, Abaye died before Rava. Remember, Abaye and Rava were both descendants of Eli. And Eli, of course, and his family were cursed, that they were none of them were going to experience long lives. And so Abaye and Rava, who are descendants from that family, so they did not live long lives. Although the Gemara elsewhere says that they were given extensions because they were involved in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. If I remember correctly, as I'm going on memory, so forgive the mistake if I make it, but Abaye was engaged in Torah, so he lived till the age of 40, and Rava was engaged in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, and he lived till the age of 60. Okay, so but they come from the house of Eli. So the So Choma devasav da Abaye. So Choma was the wife of Abaye. Now Abaye is dead at this point in time, so she's a widow of Abaye. And now, obviously, there's an estate. She's going to get supported by the estate. So also coming to Rava, Amrle psokli mizone. So okay, so she says to Rava, Rava was the av Beis Din. So she says to him, okay, I need food. So pasakla. So Rava says fine. So told the custodian to take money out of the estate in order to give to her. Postikli chamra. So then she makes the request. She says, okay, and wine. So Amrlay, so Rav at that point says, or Amrlah, Yadana be benachmeni delo havashasi chamra. Now I know my chavrusa very well, says Rav. Abaye did not drink wine. And Amrlay, chay damar dave mashkele b'shufraze. Kihai, and she begs to disagree, and she says back to him, "Chai damar, like by your life." I mean, it's like a shvua. Dave mashke le b'shufraze kihai. So she says, you know how much wine he would give me? And then she would extend her arms out to show how much wine Abaye would give her. Right? Ki hai, take a look at Rashi. Ki midas amasi v'zrawai. She would like extend her arms out to show this is how much wine she would give me. So now, in Beis Din, she made a demonstration of how much wine. And the Gemara goes on to say, Bahadid to kamechav yalei, while she was demonstrating, igle dara. Her arms were revealed. Nafal nuhura bebeidina, and a light was shown in the Beis Din. The Gemara over here is speaking euphemistically. In other words, her arms were glowing, meaning there was basically a Yetzihara that now descended in that Beis Din. Kam Rava ala Beise. So Rava now stricken with a Yetzihara. So he goes back home. He goes to his wife, Tavala Basra of Chista. And he goes to his wife. Now, the Gemara, time and again, describes Rava's wife just simply as the daughter of Chista. Okay, I'm sure she has a name. Classically, the Gemara describes her as the daughter of Rav Chista. So, Amar le bas Rav Chista, man hava aina bevei dina. So, it's a little bit strange that he goes home from work and immediately asks his wife, suppositions his wife to have to be intimate, and she realizes that something a little strange is going on. So, she asks her husband, who was in Beis Din today? So, Amar la choma divisar d'abaye. So, he's honest, and he says, well, choma was in Beis Din today. Nafka Abasra. So at that point in time, the daughter of Chista, suspicious, so takes matters into her own hands, in this case, literally. So she runs after her, meaning this is the wife of Rav Chista, the wife of Rava, the daughter of Rav Chista, running after Choma, Machvelei Bekupa Deshida, and starts hitting her. Okay, physically beating her, or just with words. Okay, in other words, but ad afkale mikule mechuza, until she exits the entire town of Mechuza. So Amr Allah, and she goes on to explain her behavior. Katatalech talasa the asus lemikalachrinam. You already killed three husbands. So in other words, she has a history of having been married already three times, and she says to her, now you want to take on a fourth husband, i.e. my husband? No, thank you. In other words, and it seems like, again, I'm sure there's a story behind the story, it seems like the idea of them getting married isn't the worst idea in the world, meaning, so then Rav will be married to two wives, okay? But the idea, of course, is that you already killed three, and then you're going to take on another, and you're going to kill him as well, and that's my husband you're looking to kill, and no, thank you. I guess the question you could formulate is, well, how can Abaye have married her if she already killed two husbands prior to Abaye? Okay, I don't have an answer to that question. I'm raising the question. I don't know if it's a legitimate question, but it certainly sounds strange. Divasada Rav Yosef. Okay, that ends the give and take between Rava, the widow of Abaye, Rava's wife taking it out on the widow of Abaye. Okay, certainly one of the more interesting stories that we're going to see over today. Divasada Rav Yosef Berei de Rav Asalakam de Rav Nechemya Berei de Rav Yosef, the wife of Rav Yosef. Son of Rava, goes to Rav Nechemya, Berei de Rav Yosef, and Amrle, Psok Limazone. So once again, she's a widow, and she turns to the basin and basically says, okay, I need to eat, so Pasakla, fine. So turns to the custodian and says to the custodian, okay, make sure she gets an allowance of food. Pasakli Chama, once again, she asks for wine, so Pasakla. So he gives her wine. Amar La now, remember, that was an unusual turn of events, because throughout this daf today, meaning if there's one thematic topic of today's daf, is that we shouldn't give women wine, not when their husbands are not around. So over here, she asks for wine, and Rav Yosef, the Beis Din says, okay, give her wine. So Amar La Yadana Behu Bibne Bechuzu Deshasa Chama. So he says, look, I know you're from Mechuzah, and I know the people living in Mechuzah are used to drinking wine. So she has a tolerance for wine. She has, I'm not saying this from an alcoholic standpoint, but she has some sort of dependency on wine. And so therefore the Beis Din said, fine. So she can drink a cup of wine a day, even though her husband's not around. Divasai de Rav Yosef, Berei de Rav Menashe, Mitzvil, Asle Kama de Rav Yosef. The wife of Rav Yosef, now this is all a little bit confusing, it's a different Rav Yosef, he was the son of Rav Menashe Mitzvil, so he goes in front of Rav Yosef, meaning, I guess we would call the classic Rav Yosef, and Amalei Psokli Mizone. So once again, so she says, I'm a widow, I need to eat. So pasuk lo. So he says, fine. Pasuk lichamra, pasuk lo. So wine, so okay. So the she got wine as well. Pasuk lishirai. So she says, okay, now I also need nice clothing. So amar la shirai lama. Nice clothing, what's that all about? Amar le, so she says, I'll tell you why I need nice clothing. Lecha, ulechavrecha, ulechavrecha. So she says very clearly, I need nice clothing, I need it for you, and your friends, and their friends as well. Meaning, Rashi, shelo es bazeh al abrios, mikvodi harishon, velo befanecha, velo befnecha verecha. Meaning, I don't want to be ashamed, I don't want to be embarrassed. So I want to look presentable. Okay. Interesting, the Gemara doesn't tell us what his response was. Meaning, it's not, right, you generally speaking in the Gemara, that who has received the last word has made the best point. That's not always true, but the Gemara does stop in terms of telling us what his response to that request was. Nosin la mita umapas. She gets a mattress. Now here, this next one or two lines of Gemara is going to be made a lot easier if we knew what they slept on. Meaning, we sleep on beds. Not that we know what we sleep on as well. I couldn't describe what's underneath the. How do you make a mattress? But back in those days, the mattresses were not quite as nice as the ones we live on. We're spoiled, but we know that. So mapas umachalsas lamala diayvla. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that in the Mishnah it describes that she gets both mafax and machatzelis. And as Rashi explains over here, that's extraneous, meaning she doesn't need all that. Right? Take a look at Rashi, Mafatz and Machasas Lamala. Hare or Shatuach Amita Tov Mina Mafatz. The leather is laid on top of the frame, and that's better than just some sort of mappets is some sort of straw or wool that's placed on top of it. So I'm Rav Papa Ba'asra Denehiga Demalapuria Bechavle Demevagila. So Rav Papa explains that our Mishnah is describing a location where the minig was that they would lie down on a bed of rope, right? Puria Bechavile. That literally means a bed made up of rope. Demevagila, and it really ages you. Meaning, if you ever had the experience of sleeping in an uncomfortable mattress, you wake up in the morning and you're not refreshed, right? It ages you, right? So that's what Rav Papa is answering. Rav Papa is answering that the reason why she's given this quote unquote excessive mattress is because the mattresses that they were on top of were just basically a frame, ropes that were strung through, and therefore she needs a couple of layers to put on top of it. Otherwise, it's really going to be uncomfortable, and it's really going to age her. So that's what the Mishnah is describing. Tana Rabbanan Enosin La Karvikesis Misham Rabbi Nasan Amar Enosin La Karvikesis Amachlokis Tanayim as to whether or not she gets the pillow. Okay? Hey Chidami. The Gemara says, that's funny. What are we talking about? Idorche Mai Tamed Tana Kamed Vidilav Orche Mai Tamed Rabbi Nasan. Meaning, what are we arguing about? She gets a pillow, she doesn't get a pillow. Look, if the minhag is that people sleep on pillows, so she should get a pillow. And if the minhag is people don't sleep on pillows, then she shouldn't get a pillow. What are we talking about? So the Gemara points out that the machlokis over here is talking about a scenario where it is usual for him but unusual for her. She comes from a family where they don't sleep on pillows. He comes from a family where they do. So Tanakama Savar Amalak Yazina Shakina Lahu Vichyasina Maisina Lahu. So according to the Tanakama, she's not gonna get a pillow because she's not used to it. She doesn't need it. It's true, the husband's argument to her would be as follows. I'm gonna go away, I'll take my pillow with me. I'm gonna come back, I'll come back with my pillow. No problem. And again, we're talking about a case where she's not used to it. She doesn't normally sleep with a pillow. So bad day. The Rabbi Nasan Savar Amrlei, and according to Rabbi Nasan, no, you give her a pillow. Why? Because Zimran Dimisrami Benashmashos Alamasis Maiselei. Because what's going to happen is he's going to come back on Benashmashos, meaning on Friday, but he's not even going to make it in time for Shabbos. He'll come like right after Shabbos, and he won't be able to carry. So also to carry during Benashmashos as well. Vishakalta Luli Didiu Mangili Al Ara. And what is my husband going to do? He's going to take away my only pillow. And he's going to make me sleep on the floor, and he'll take away my pillow, and so therefore she has a legitimate claim based on this possibility that she should receive her own pillow as well. Okay. Nosan lo kippa. Then the Mishnah goes on to describe how she receives a certain allocation of clothing. So Amalei Rav Papa Labai. We're now on the top of Samachem Nidveis. Hai Tana. Shaliach Artalai V'rami Misanai. So, the author of our Braisa, The author of our Mishnah, Shaliach over here does not mean messenger. In this context, Shaliach over means Hivshit. Right? That's the way Rashi explains it. And Artalai means naked. Meaning, our Mishnah says she gets a fresh head covering, she gets a belt, and she gets new shoes. That's what our Mishnah says. What about the clothing? Meaning, what about the rest of the clothing? And the Gemara just asks in a bewildered sense, like, is she supposed to be, strip her of her clothing, she's walking around naked, but you put shoes on her? Meaning, the way the Mishnah is formulated, it doesn't sound like she receives fresh clothing, but she does receive a new pair of shoes. Amar lei tana b'makom harim kai delosanya below talasa zuga misane. So the Gemara explains, no, of course that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is talking about people who live up in the mountains. You go through your shoes pretty quickly. So you need at least 3 pairs of shoes annually when you live up in the mountains. The agavorche kamash milan de nesfino ni alei b'moi kiyeche de navelei simchas begavayu. And all the Mishnah is trying to present to us is the idea that you get 3 pairs of shoes, and you know what? Coordinate that she gets those 3 pairs of shoes in time for Yontif. Because we know that there's a mitzvah Simchas Yontif. Okay, we're right now in the middle of one. So we know there's a mitzvah Simchas Yontif. So make sure that she gets an allocation of 3 pairs of shoes, but make sure she gets them in coordination with Yontif so you knock off 2 birds with 1 stone. You give her the allocation that she deserves, and on top of that, you also coordinate with Yontif so she has Simchas Yontif. Good. The Kalim Shel Chamishim Zuz. And what kind of allocation does she receive for clothing? So the Mishnah says that her budget for clothing is going to be 50 shkalim. 50 shkalim is a lot of money. Now again, I don't know how much that comes out to in today's dollars and cents, but it's a lot of money. I'll give you evidence that's a lot of money. When you marry a woman, so how much you give her, how much you give as a ksuva? 50 zuz. So if the 50 zuz is the amount that you write for a ksuva, that is a considerable amount of money. That's how much a standard ksuva is written for. I'm sorry. Ksuva is 200 zuz. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. Right, I was thinking your shkalim. Ksuva is 200 zuz. But still, a quarter of that is a considerable amount of money. So the idea that the Mishnah says that she's going to be receiving 50 zuz for a yearly allocation for her clothing, that's a lot of money. Now, that in of itself is not a problem. Again, the Mishnah ends off by saying, Hakol, if he kvodav, the husband can afford it, that's fine. What bothers the Gemara right now is that our Mishnah is describing someone who's poor. Someone who's poor, hard time imagining that they can afford for their wives, that their estate can afford for their wives, 50 zuz of clothing annually. Amar Abaye, Chamishim zuz, Pshite. So what Abaye says, that even though our Mishnah is describing 50 zuz, it doesn't mean zuz in the classic sense. Meaning that there are 2 different types of coins that were used in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara. There is what's called Kesef Medina, and there's what's called Kesef Tsuri. Okay, the difference between them is as follows. Kesef Tsuri, that was a currency that was used that was made up exclusively of silver. So in other words, they had a particular weight, and that weight was represented by a precious metal, i.e. silver. Kesef Medina was a coin, but really it was an alloy. It was made up of silver and some other very cheap type of metal. So when our Mishnah says that she's going to get an allocation of 50 zuzim a year, it doesn't mean that she's getting the classic tsuri coin, because that's just a lot of money. There's no way that a poor person can afford that kind of money. But our Mishnah is talking about Kesef Medina, and that is an eighth of the value of Kesef Tsuri. So it's considerably less than that with that comment of Abai, our Mishnah makes a lot more sense. Mimai, and the Gemara just makes the observation that we just made. Because our Mishnah is talking about someone who's poor. But if someone who has wealth and money, so then you dress her accordingly. And if you think 50 zuz means literally 50 zuz, so then ani chamishim zuz menale. Where is the poor person going to get 50 zuz from? So it must be that we're talking about Kesef Medina, not Kesef Tsuri, an eighth of the value of Kesef Tsuri. The Ein Nos in Law Lo Chadashim Vechule Tanu Rabbanim. Okay, we're finishing up the parak over here. Mosar Mizonos Labaal Moser Balaos Leisha. Let's say there's extra or leftover. So let's say there's leftover mizonos, right? Kagon Rashi says Leisha Shemizonos Hamur Bimishnasenu Otim La Sheinu Raftanis. Let's say she's going through a week and she just didn't need that much food. So you gave her the allocation for food and there's leftover food. Who's entitled to that? Who's the owner of that? So the Braisa says, he is, the husband is. Okay, so if there's any leftover food by the end of the week, that's owned by the husband. Okay. Moser Balaos, but let's say after she uses the clothing, there's leftover from the clothing. So Li'isha. So in other words, in terms of an allocation, all that money is allocated to the woman, meaning that 50 zuz is allocated to the woman is exclusively now to the woman's. And if let's say she doesn't use it, so there's a surplus in the budget, she gets to keep it. Moser Balaos Li'isha Lamala. So the Gemara says, and why does she get to keep it? So the Gemara says, because what she could use, what she could do with the leftover clothing, is she can use it to cover herself up while she's an Ida, and she won't be disgusting to her husband. In other words, for her husband, after she's an Ida, and when she's ready to get back together with her husband, she'll have nice clothing, fresh clothing, and she won't have to wear the same clothing that she wore during an Ida. Bizmana Gemara, I know it's very hard for us to imagine, but if it's Bizmana Gemara, when a woman was an Ida, she had different clothing that she wore. She didn't wear the same clothing like she did the rest of the month. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition, says Abaye. Naktinan literally means to grab, but in the context of the Gemara over here, it means this is an accepted tradition, which is that if she's a widow and she has most of below, she has leftover clothing or leftover budget for the clothing, so that goes to the heirs. Meaning, unlike a married woman where she has leftover that she gets to keep, but if she's a widow and she doesn't have a husband, so then it goes to the Yorshim. And the reason why, the Gemara explains. Because when she's married and she has a husband, so she gets to keep that surplus money for her wardrobe because makes her nicer, makes her more presentable to her husband. But here she's a widow, and as far as the kids are concerned, they don't need her looking presentable, they just need her clothed. And if she has extra money, so they get to keep that extra money. No salamai kasavachulemai ochelas. Okay, last point that we're going to be covering in the Mishnah, and that is that the Mishnah statement is that ochelas imo meleila Shabbos leleila Shabbos, eats with her from Friday night to Friday night. What does that mean? He eats with her. My ochelas. What does that mean? Rav Nachman and ochelas mam. So Rav Nachman says it means ochelas mam. She eats with her every Friday night. The Rambam's of the opinion. Okay, you can imagine this is consistent with the Rambam in general. The Rambam's of the opinion he doesn't have to eat with her during the week. Meaning, even if he's home, there's no requirement. There's no. I mean, again, it might be a good idea, but I'm just giving you the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam writes that he is not required to eat with her during the week, but on Shabbos, however, there's a special requirement that he eats with her. Rambam gets it from this Gemara right here. Meaning the opinion of Rav Nachman of our Mishnah is Ochelas means literally he eats with her on Friday night. What does that mean? It means, says the Rambam, conclusion is that he's not obligated to eat with her on a Tuesday night. Okay, they wonder, that's fine, but he's not obligated. But on Friday night, he has an obligation to sit down with her and to eat with her. Rav Ashi Amar Tashmish. Now Rav Ashi says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means that the Mishnah is speaking euphemistically, Balashan Naki, in a clean language, but it's a euphemism. It means that he's with her. Tanan Ochelas Imo Leila Shabbos. So the Mishnah says he eats with her on the Friday night. Bishlam Aman Damar Chilahin Adiktani Ochelas. Elaman Damar Tashmish May Ochelas. Now, if the Mishnah is to be understood that he eats with her, literally eats with her, good. That's what the Mishnah says. But if Ochelas means Tashmish, so why is the Mishnah using a language of Ochelas? Lishna Ma'alya. The Gemara answers very simply, because the Mishnah wants to speak in a clean language. Kidichsiv, the Pasuk of Mishlei says, Achla Machta Pia V'Amar Lo Palti Oven. Pasuk of Mishlei says that she ate and she wiped her mouth and she says, I did nothing wrong. That's a euphemism in that Pasuk describing a woman and lascivious behavior. But you see, even in such a context, the Navi uses a language of Achla, a cleaner version. So our Mishnah is not, obviously, is meant in a positive fashion. Our Mishnah is describing the relationship between a husband and wife, but still, our Mishnah wants to use a language that's clean. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, so he eats with her on Friday night and also Shabbos lunch. Bonus. She gets to eat with her husband two times. So now, Bishlam Laman Dam Achila Hainu Diktani Vishabes. So good. If the what it means, like Rav Nachman says, is that the Achila means that literally he eats with her, so good. Friday night he eats with her. And then Shabbos lunch eats with her as well. Alaman Dharma Tashmish Bishabs Meika. But again, if it means euphemistically, it's an expression over here that they're going to be intimate. So they're going to be intimate on Friday night and Shabbos day. The Hamar Avuna Yisrael Kedoshin name. The Jewish people are holy people. The Ein Misham Shemitah Sim Bayom. And they don't engage in Tashmish Shemitah during the day. So the Gemara says Hamar Rava Beveis Afal Moter. The Gemara says that's not objective. That's not unilateral. There are occasions where it's permitted for a husband to be with his wife during the day if they're in a dark room, says Rava. So then it would be allowed. So it's not inconceivable that the Braisa is a reference to Tashmish Shemitah, and it could be a reference to both Friday night and Shabbos during the day as well. V'imaisa Menika. If the woman is nursing Darsh Rabbi Ula Rabba Apiska de Benesiaf Apishamarin Adam Zanis Banav Nosef Chin Kitanim Avalzan Kitne Kitanim. Now, even though a man is not obligated to feed his children when they're young. Now, we went over this before, remember we said earlier. And the age is 6, and the Gemara over here is going to spell it out. But after 6 years of age, you don't have an obligation. Try to be clear in my language. You don't have an obligation to feed your children. Now, you do have a moral imperative to do so. Right? The Gemara earlier described it as, and we could put it in the category of tzedaka, but it's more than tzedaka. It's a moral imperative where the husband feeds his children even at the age of 6, but when they are little, meaning below the age of 6, so it's not just a moral imperative, it's an obligation. Ad kamad ben sheish. The Gemara says 6 years of age is the mark. Meaning before, up to the age of 6, and I don't know if it's up to and including, but up to the age of 6, there is an obligation for the father to feed his children. After 6, it's not an obligation. How do we see this play out in halacha? Kedir avasi, damar avasi, katan ben sheish yotze be'erav imo. That a child who's 6 years of age, okay, good, that answers my question I just raised. It seems from the Gemara, it's up to and including. So a six-year-old goes together with the erev of his mother. What does that mean, the erev of his mother? It means that the, let's say Rashi over here gives a description, you know, erev tchum allows you to walk beyond where you are right now. So you set up an erev in a particular direction, and then it gives you another 2,000 amos in that direction. Fine. Let's say that he sets up an erev tchum in one direction, and the wife sets an erev tchum in another direction. Okay, so on Shabbos, they're going in two different directions. Where does the six-year-old go? Meaning, who is he immediately connected with? The mother or the father? So answer, according to Rav Asi, is goes with the mother. Meaning, at 6 years of age, he goes with the mother. Meaning that when the father sends the mother food, so that food is not only for the mother, but it also includes the child as well. So in other words, the child is eating as a function of the mother. And so therefore, when she sets up Erev Tchum, it includes the six-year-old as well. So the Gemara says, and look, what does the Mishnah say? Mishnah says that when a woman's nursing, so her productivity goes down, meaning you cannot expect the same kind of productivity when she's nursing, because a lot of her time is going to be occupied in terms of nursing the child. And on top of that, the husband's also obligated to give her more food. So my time, and the reason why, presumably, is because her child's going to eat with her, meaning that she's going to not only have to be feeding herself, but feeding also the child as well. The Gemara says, okay, but that's not, that in of itself is not conclusive. It could very well mean that you're going to give her more food. Why? Because she's a chola, meaning she gave birth and she's weaker. So imkin lisni ma'isa chola, my im ha'isa minika. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if that's true, what's the Mishnah then telling us? What the Mishnah should have said is, you give her more food. You know why you give her more food? Because she's a chola. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? V'duma kamash malan d'stam minikos cholos ninum. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah is coming to tell us that when a woman's nursing, so she's going to be in a weaker state. And she has the halachic status of being a chola. And maybe that's exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us. Idmar Rav Yeshua ben Levi Mosif la Yain Sha Yain Yafal Chalav, and Rav Yeshua ben Levi ends off the parak by telling us that when a woman's nursing, you know what's excellent? Wine. Give her more wine. Wine is good for the milk that she produces, and so it would be an excellent supplement to her diet while she's nursing. I know nowadays they say beer, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm providing good information, but the Gemara says wine. Hajjal Chafapi. That is the end of the fifth parak of the Masechta. Okay, good. We are now finished. Five parakim are in the book. We are basically halfway through the Masechta. We have another. There are 13 parakim altogether in the Masechta. So in terms of parakim, we're not halfway through. But in terms of dapim, we're about halfway through the Masechta. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the six pack.